Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints in order to navigate the very challenging realities that we face in this life. Who's the guy on the show today, Steph?
Oh, he's just some guy. No.
Just some guy.
He's actually, I have to say, he's one of my favorite people on the planet.
Do you not say that about everybody?
I say that about everybody, in particular about this guest, right? And he just happens to have a really beautiful wife,
amazing children, one with a great name.
Yeah,
Avila.
Avila.
So, hey, Avila.
Anyway,
Sienna. Hey, Sienna.
Yeah. She will appreciate that, Dan.
Yeah. Just trying to equalize my shout outs.
Yeah. So joining us today, and he's a repeat guest, so we have him on when we can, is Dr. Joseph Holcraft. He is a professor and the director of the High Calling Program here at the Avila Institute. Dr. Holcraft is the author of A Heart for Evangelizing, Emmaus Road, and Unleashing the Power of Intercessory Prayer with Sophia. He has been featured on EWTN Live with Father Mitch Pacwa and Women of Grace with Jeanette Williams. A former Catholic radio host, Dr. Holcraft regularly contributes to multiple Catholic online journals and is frequently heard on Catholic radio airwaves discussing spiritual theology. Most importantly, he is a devoted husband and father. He lives in Canal Fulton, is that right? Canal Fulton, Ohio,
yeah,
with his beautiful wife, Jackie, and their four children, Colby, Avila, Isaac, and Sienna. I think maybe he's a Catholic.
Might be.
Welcome, Dr. Holcraft. It's awesome to have you with us again.
Well, it's always good to be with you, especially talking about this topic.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're heading into Lent, and we thought it would be an important time. I mean, obviously, it's a time when the great saints admonish us to turn our hearts to the passion of Jesus. But I think sometimes we don't think that we can do that through Mary and her suffering. And, you know, each year, as I look at this subject, I listen to Our Lady of Sorrows Rosary every single morning. Like, before I roll out of bed, I turn it on, and so that my mind and heart's oriented to God. Not always as attentive as I want to be, because I'm, you know, in the super groggy zone. But even this year, though, even preparing for this show, struck by how little I have plumbed the depths of Mary's suffering and how much it pulled on my heart this morning as I was preparing for the show regarding her suffering. But Dr. Holcraft, what is it, you know, how do you see her suffering as helping us? How do you see her suffering as helping us to draw closer to the suffering of Jesus?
Yeah, that's an important question, Dan. And as Mary says, do whatever he tells you, I go to Jesus, and then Jesus leads me to Mary, right? As I was speaking of getting up in the morning and contemplating the seven sorrows, when I had gotten up this morning, I was circling around more or less that question. And I was made to go to the cross, you know, preparing my heart for Lent. What are the things I need to give up? What are the things I need to do? And the word that stood out to me was salvation, right? And just circling around, just not that word salvation, but the root, right? Salve, that in the Latin, you know, salvatio, salve, that medicinal ointment, mm-hmm. or adhesive preparation for use on wounds and sores. You know, salve can actually literally mean oily substance. So it's really interesting. So when we talk about salvation, what we are talking about then is our wounds, right? Our brokenness, and collectively then being restored and healed. And so on the cross, to respond to your question, Dan, when Mary is given to us as our mother, she is uniquely drawn into that very particular space of healing and restoring, right? We know that our Lord's merciful love is attracted to brokenness. In his mercy, he is attracted to the wound. He is attracted to those who are most in need. So is Mary. I mean, she runs to those who are most in need. If you were to look back on all of the private revelation, and in particular, to look at the ones that the church has looked upon favorably and approved, Guadalupe, Fatima, Cabejo, Rwanda, these are places that have something in common. They're places where Mary's children are far from her, right? Guadalupe, of course, ravished with the pagan cults and whatnot. Fatima, extreme political of the people at the time. Cabejo, Rwanda, guerrilla warfare, it goes on and on. Mary goes to these places because these are the places that are most in need. And is this not the heart of the mother, right? So when we talk about the seven sorrows of Mary, and we talk about her suffering, to behold these seven sorrows, to ponder these seven sorrows, is to get into the secrets of her heart. What she bleeds for, and what she bleeds for, as we know here in this space, is the salvation of souls, right? The salvation of souls. And I'm sure, Steffi, you can speak to this in spades, just that the reality that's built into the heart of a mother, you go to those who are most in need, and this is what Mary is doing. And so to ponder Mary's seven sorrows and to ponder her heart is truly to get into the secrets of her heart. And yes, we can see where there's a lot of upheaval around the world. But the deeper we go, the more we'll come to understand those places that Mary calls us to pray for, which, oh, by the way, Mary just doesn't run to places, right? She runs to hearts, right? She's running into these very specific places that is first and foremost the heart. Mm-hmm. And so for me, when we talk about Mary, the mother who suffers, it's time to spend time with her. This is one of the things that, again, St. Bridget of Sweden asks, is there not a heart that would pity my own, she said, which is quite striking, actually. This is the first thing that she asked us, that we would do this and at the same time come to understand that as we do that, she is also just not having us look at our own hearts, that we would identify those areas of spiritual growth, but at the same time, learn that beautiful language of what it means to have a heart for another. Mm-hmm. So this is what this devotion is about for me, and collectively what she has communicated to the likes of St. Bridget of Sweden.
Yeah. You know, Joe, you talked about so beautifully about how Our Lady has revealed herself to these areas where people were languishing and so far from God. And what struck me as you were saying that is how, from a mother's heart, when we see our loved ones, whether they're our children, our spiritual children, those that have been entrusted to us, whoever they are, right, that draw near to us, the greatest suffering is to be far from God and not even know it, right? To not even understand it, that is the greatest languishing that we can have, and we don't. Like our spirit groans because we're not united to the beloved. We're not united to the very salve, that salvation that we need so desperately in our souls. And that it's just a fascinating reflection on what you were saying, is that she shows up where we need her the most. And that's when we're the most lost. We're the farthest from him. When we're not aligned with God's will in our lives, in our whatever it is. That is the particular role of a mother to heal those wounds and draw back and to bring to wholeness who whatever's given to her. You know, I think if we think about the maternal heart, and you know, maybe we can talk about this a little bit, but there is this, the Lord knew we needed a mother. Mm. Otherwise he wouldn't have planned things the way he did from all eternity. And in the maternal heart, which is perfected in Mary, doesn't she make, she brings new life when she embraces us, you know? How does that play out through the seven sorrows? How do we see that play out in this devotion where she brings new life? She nurtures and gives what we need in those places.
Well, I think the answer could be found, yes, in seven sorrows, with the understanding that she's there at every stage of life, right? So when you look at the seven sorrows, right, but the first of which, of course, being inside the temple all the way to the burial of Jesus, this is the beginning and the end. So the one thing that really stands out to me as you ask that question, Stephanie, is the importance of understanding that Mary is with us every step of the way. You know, you've noted my four children. And Dan, yes, Sienna will appreciate that shout out when she hears this. Our oldest is 19 now. Still getting my head around that one. And then our youngest, Sienna, is now 11. But Jackie and I were talking about, even recently, just the various stages of life, if you will. And she was talking in a particular way about how she has been made to see her own, you know, who she is as a daughter in God in light of who she is also as mother, in a very specific way in these various stages of life. So when I look at, say, Colby, who's had to suffer much, right? Because for our listening audience and viewing audience, Colby was born with a cleft lip and cleft palate. So he went through 6 surgeries before he was 3.
Wow.
And so there was lots of suffering. And then because of that, there was just this ongoing need for all of this, you know, care to his mouth and so much attention. There's a lot of suffering. But in that, Jackie was talking about how this suffering took on a different dimension. It opened up new doors to her heart. She even said, again, Stephanie, I'm sure you could speak to this, that she was loving in a way she never knew she could. And in that space, she was coming to understand the beauty of Our Lady and her own capacity to love, mm-hmm. Love her. So again, looking then at the seven sorrows of Mary and these various stages, what we ought to appreciate is that this is not only the life of Mary, but also Mary loving her son over the course of our Lord's life. And I think there's something quite explicit for us to see and appreciate the beauty of what this suffering looks like over the course of a life. And that very much is speaking to the space.
Well said, Dr. Holcraft. We're going to cut out to a break, so we'll be right back.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father, so there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation. You know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life, those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're talking with Dr. Joseph Holcraft, more important than Joseph, of course, we're talking about with him about the Blessed Mother and how it is that we can enter into a deeper kind of meditation this Lent. Both of you said something that struck me. Dr. Holcraft, you talked about the mother being drawn to the wounds or the woundedness or the brokenness of her children. And it's interesting to me because I didn't experience that as a child. And so, you know, so there's this mother wound related. I love my mother and, you know, she grew up in a tough circumstance and I'm not in any way, you know, critical toward her, but it's just a fact. Did the best she could, really. But, you know, having Mary, in a sense, become a perfect mother for me, not to replace my earthly mother, but to heal some of those wounds. But when you both were talking about it, reminded me of a scene in The Passion of the Christ where it's one of those breakaway scenes from his suffering or his scourging. And it's...
She's running.
As a little boy.
Yes.
As a little boy, Jesus falls.
Everyone in that theater, all around the world, everybody broke out into tears.
Right.
At that moment.
And why is that? Maybe I'm just really defective. Jordan falls down, you know, hits his head or something. I'm going, looking at a distance, going, get up, you know? And then depending on how much blood, you know, but it's all going to be pretty casual and not a very compassionate. But moms are the exact opposite.
You know, it's interesting talking about this and our mother wounds. And that's what I love so much about Our Lady is that she comes into these places of woundedness in our hearts regarding our mothers, no matter if they were great moms.
Or if they struggled.
Or if they were terrible moms. They all fall short of the glory of God. They all fall short of like every maternal need that we have to be nurtured and be taken care of and just put back together whole. All of our moms, no matter how amazing or broken they are, fell short of that. And she fulfills all of that. She makes up for all of it and comes from a place of, you know, just this, it's a note here in
Dr. Holcraft's book.
Yeah, in Joe's wonderful book, that Mary's sorrows, each one of those swords that pierced her heart, brought in more capacity to love.
Yeah.
And it's an important model for us.
Say it one more time.
Every wound, every sword that pierced her heart, those seven sorrows, each one of them opened up a space for greater capacity to love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not only a comfort to us, but it's a model for us that when we're wounded, when we're hurt by life circumstances, by those betrayals, by the harsh words, by the trials and tribulations and the abandonment and the rejection and whatever we've suffered through whoever's hands we've suffered, especially those closest to us, that is a particular grace and gift.
Yeah. How?
It's a gift because if we go to the Lord with that and don't turn in on ourselves,
right?
If we go through Our Lady and her sorrows, it's an emptying of self. It creates a bigger space in us to be loved and to be filled with a love that is the only love that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And when we allow ourselves to go to him for those needs through her, we are transformed.
Hmm.
You know, I think about the scripture verse, we comfort with the comfort with which we've been comforted. When we are wounded, if we can embrace it as a cross, that it's a gift, and we lean into Our Lady as our model, her response to the seven wounds that she got, we can understand that it opens up a space within us where God's love becomes manifest in and through us if we embrace it, we surrender to it, if we submit to it and don't fight it and turn away in our bitterness.
Can you give an example? Because it's a super important concept that's very abstract, but really vital, but needs application. You can use whatever you want.
What comes to mind to me is the story of the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
Through our ministry, through healing prayer, through spiritual direction, and all the souls that we love and serve. I just think to be a parent is to have a prodigal child at one point or another in various degrees, right? And there's a particular pain in it that it's devastating. It's very hard to watch anybody, really, anybody that you love, turn away from the very things and walk away from the very things that would bring about their salvation, that would bring about their transformation, that would bring about a oneness with our Lord. And so many of us, even ourselves in our own growing up, so many times we turn away from the very things that would actually make us more whole.
Yeah.
They would make us more whole, more like Christ, more loving, more selfless. And instead we turn to selfishness or self-protection or turning in on ourselves because we're so deeply afraid or distrusting or whatever it is. And we've all suffered that. And to stand with Our Lady at the foot of the cross, it's a type of standing with Our Lady at the foot of the cross, watching her son be crucified. And knowing that that is necessary for their salvation. I remember years and years ago when we first got custody of our producer, you know, Jordan Burke.
Our oldest son. Yeah.
Our oldest son. He was struggling,
wrecked.
You know, wrecked. And I did not want him to be wrecked. I did not want him to do the things that he was doing. And in speaking to my priest about it, he said the very words that transformed my approach to it in completion, really, which just grew. Father John told me, he said, "Stephanie, what if he needs it for his salvation?" And I was just like, "Oh, what if he needs this crucifixion right now? What if he needs to go away like the prodigal son to reach his end in order to be saved?" Yeah. Right. And it's just such an important thing that we have to understand.
Before we jump over to Joe and talk about this a little more, I want to talk about Joe consoling the heart of Mary. We have an incredible event coming up called Ecce Homo, Behold the Man, Behold Your Mother. If you ever wanted to dig into the unfathomable depths of the suffering of Jesus and the suffering of his mother, you will not find a more powerful event. And it's online and available to everyone. So head out to spiritualdirection.com/events. Dr. Ralph Martin, Bishop Liam Carey, Bishop Bars, Dr. Mark Maravalli, Sister Dita Byrne, Father Jacob Powell, and 30 or so amazing priests, religious, and laity speaking on this topic. Joseph, what does it mean to console the heart of Mary, and how do we do that in this Lent and in this exploration?
Yeah, and before I respond to that, just a shout out also to Ruth Burkhorst, who's the co-author of the book, who will also be presenting at Ecce Homo as well.
Your book, Seven Sorrows of Mary, that you wrote with Ruth, which is a fantastic book. I've got it in my hand here in the studio.
It's such an important question, Dan.
The first about thing 2.5 minutes, Joseph.
Okay. Thanks for that. Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for what you shared there too, Stephanie. In response to that question, presence, right, Dan? Presence. We know that what it means to us when we are suffering and someone is just physically present to us, right? Saint Augustine says this could be, in the order of grief, the most powerful prayer is to just be present. I like the phrase, when we are down to nothing, God is always up to something.
That's a beautiful phrase. I like that.
When you think about the cross, what's left? There he is on the cross.
Right.
In the order of how we might look upon that from the world, he's down to nothing. And yet the something is salvation and the wounds exposed. Right. So how do we console the heart of Mary? But be present to the wounds. We talk about her, Mary's heart bleeding for souls. And you talk about love, Stephanie. The phrase that's in my mind is that, you know, when we console the heart, when we go to Mary and we look to console her, and by extension, those around her who she calls us to be present to, we're reminded that, as Mary does, we don't love to fix, right? We don't, if someone comes to us in suffering, we don't say, oh, we're going to fix them. No, we love them where they're at. We meet them exactly where they are, to walk with them as God calls us to. And that in time, in through that love, will lead them to the fullness of being in God's grace. And this is what Mary teaches us, and no doubt this brings great consolation to the heart of Mary. We were created what from love, in love, and for love. And in that space of love, which is action, moving, it's a movement towards another's heart. And from heart to heart, I know many episodes have been spent on this, Dan and Stephanie, but from heart to heart, there's great movement as we begin to be present to another. Great movement in just listening, and sometimes maybe not even responding till 2, 3, 4 times later. We console the heart of Mary by being present to her fully, meditating upon the great mysteries, so that she might better teach us what it then means to love those in our immediate families, and by extension, those who God called us.
Beautiful, beautifully said, Dr. Holcraft. Well, with that, until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.